Welcome into the Open Tabs podcast. Let's talk about all things design. I'm Andre, and today I'm here with
Sherry.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how a content creator can turn content into clients. This topic is going to be about how designers can use content, not just to like get views and likes, but also to actually sync real clients and paid work. Do you want to go ahead and start right off with like targeting a certain audience?
I guess when it comes to like targeting an audience per se, it just really depends what kind of content you're putting out.
Okay.
Like what content specifically, like what your business is about.
Sure.
If you fall into any kind of niche and stuff like that and focus on that stuff. And even if you're not entirely sure who your audience is, mm-hmm. you can just kind of put stuff out there sometimes and just see who it garners and see if you can cater to them.
That's fair. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like for the viewers watching, if any of them were like a construction company owner, how would you go about figuring out their demographic and who they should target on socials?
Well, if they're doing said landscaping?
Construction.
Yeah.
I think renovations, general.
You know, renovations and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd be probably thinking like not quite young adults, but like people in their late 20s, maybe early 30s, who are just now getting a home, starting to renovate and stuff like that.
Honestly, valid. I cannot wait to buy a home.
Yeah, even people all the way maybe in their like late 40s, early mm-hmm. 50s, maybe 60s, where it's maybe they don't have the stamina that they used to make their own renovations and stuff.
Yeah, true.
So focusing in on that, and it's like, oh, we can help you out in this regard because you're just starting out with a house. And again, mm-hmm. moving is already so stressful. And then for them, it'd be more so focusing on, like for the older age, basically helping out with, again, renovations or stuff that they can't fix because it's like, oh, I don't have the stamina to take care of the home like you used to.
Honestly, valid. To kind of piggyback off of that, me personally, when it comes to renovation, ironically, I don't target men. I target women when I think of like renovation marketing.
Yeah, I never said men. I just said
no,
like,
valid.
Like couples, I would say.
Valid. Like the ideology, this is just general designers. I feel like most of them will target men because they're like, oh, construction, manly. But me personally, I'm like, yeah, but like most men in that area of life are so busy with other things that the wife would normally tell them to do them. Like normally the wife is like, I want this for the house. And I want this for the house. And now I want a deck. And she tells the husband, who are we getting to do the deck? Are you doing the deck?
Or again, they just, again, if anything, sometimes it's the guy who's like, oh, I have plans for the house. At least that's how it is at my place. Like
that's
my dad
fair.
Will just be like, oh, this doesn't look good. I'm going to, and then he just tears it all down and starts building something out of it.
Yeah, no, that's facts.
Mm.
That's like, see, when I think that, and that's not to say that anyone's wrong. When I hear that, then my brain goes, hardware store, supplies, this, that.
Home Depot.
Yeah, run through Home Depot and start searching for stuff. I'm the type that goes into Home Depot and just stares and hopes that somebody's like, hey, do you need help? Yes,
that's
please.
Why they got
Thank
people
you.
At every corner.
I don't know. I think targeting the right audience is so interesting when it comes to different fields. Like, again, for me personally, when it comes to construction, I think women, which I think most people don't think about. When mm-hmm. it comes to restaurant, ironically, I think college kids. None of them ever want to cook.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, I think that's why they have that, like, new hot chicken place opening up in State College that they're pushing to college kids.
Isn't that dude, like, 17?
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is I keep seeing his ad. It's like, State College, we're coming.
Yeah.
And he's walking out of the store. And
it's like drone shots. Yeah. That dude's cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's actually, okay, not to get too far off topic. There's this one place in State College. It is called Kokoro.
Heard of Kokoro, yeah.
I went in there, low-key. It was so good. Place kind of scared me a little bit, but, like, it was so good. And then they had a whole poster inside. It was like, if you're hungry and you can't afford a meal, text what you want to this number and we'll make it for you. No questions asked. If we won't charge you. And I was like, aw.
That's really nice.
That's kind of sweet. It's mm-hmm. like, that's good marketing. That makes me want to come support them more often.
Yeah. I think that's also why Green Bean will push like their pay forward coffee basically during the wintertime. Because it's mm-hmm. like, oh, people want like a warm drink. So if you want to give money towards them, like just coming in and getting a drink for free, then you can do that.
Yeah. I don't know what audience that makes me fall into, but I feel targeted when I see that stuff and I support it heavily.
It just makes you a young adult that has wants to help out and wants to help out in different ways, help out in like little ways and like ways that doesn't affect your income drastically. It's like, oh, I can give $5. I mean, someone can get a coffee. I can give this and someone can get that.
Yes. See, but when I go to the grocery store like Walmart, they say round up. I'm like, I ain't got that.
No, that's different because depending on the grocery store, they've already donated and you rounding up is giving money back to their donation is usually how that works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, off topic from social media. Y'all ain't gonna get me. But again, that is good ways to like, for I guess social media ideas on like what you want to focus on for your brand and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I feel like when you do stuff like that, though, it kind of helps you convert your viewers. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that get on there on socials and will ask for help with projects and stuff in your local community and people support. And then you get to connect with them further. And not to make it, you know, sound like we're manipulating you, but then I feel like it makes it easier to sell to them. You're like a local face, a friend.
There always has to be a connection established, any kind of trust, basically. That's always just what it starts out of. If they can trust you, then that means that they will support you further and even buy from you and stuff. That's just to give them.
Yeah. What do you think is a big misconception about your viewers? Do you think that like most businesses think that like viewers are just the exact same thing as a client?
Because
I feel like a lot of businesses are like, oh, we have viewers, but we're not getting clients. I'm like, well, not every viewer is a client.
Yeah, they're just like people either like passing through or like, again, sometimes you'll drive by and see like a billboard or a flyer for something. It's like, oh, that's cool, but that doesn't cater to me. Like, it's just, it doesn't relate to them. Like they saw it, but then the person who is interested in that thing will see that like, oh, cool, I'm going to like go buy that or get a part of that service.
That happened to me. I buy so much stuff off social media. I am the drive-by. They drive by me and they get what they want.
TikTok shop's gotten you a few times.
Dude, TikTok shop gets me daily.
Mm-hmm.
I literally just bought these new mics off of there, little lapel mics. And then not even an hour later, they started showing me tripods. And I was like, of course I need a tripod to go with my new mics. Yeah. Are you kidding me? And then they started showing me ring lights, and I was like, no, we're not going 3 for 3. You got 2.
Again, it's just every little thing, if you stay on it long enough. And again, with TikTok, it's gotten to the point where it's almost egregious. Like, everything is an ad. Yeah, everything is an ad, essentially. Because it's just people, either it's like, oh, you don't want a shirt that looks like this. You want a shirt that looks like this. Look at how different I look with it and stuff like that. You don't even realize you're
watching an ad until you see the
numbers until you see, like, the little thing in the corner that's like, oh, you can buy this TikTok shop. And, like, Instagram has its own way of it, but it's not as egregious as TikTok because, again, everything from that stems down into, like, Instagram, Facebook, wherever for that social media, it always stems from TikTok in some way. It just gets reinvented as it goes from platform to platform.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, is, I guess, obvious, but.
Later that same day, I bought a 12-pack spilt.
Yeah, I know.
Also off the TikTok shop.
You also told me about that.
It's so bad. I'm an addict to the TikTok shop.
Yeah, because at least the one with Instagram is they say what it is, and if anything, people promote it that way as well. Is it the same thing where it's just like UGC marketing, basically? Where it's like, we're going to give you this product, but you need to like act like it's you just like a casual video and that you like it and stuff like that.
User generated, yeah. 100%. The UGC content is honestly becoming such a big space. I've noticed that some people take UGC content as just finding content from people that they've already used and trying to repurpose it for another item.
Oh, yeah.
I've also seen some people pay for UGC where they're paying creators, hey, use this product and just say that you like it.
Yeah, there's.
And then we'll pay you.
Yeah, there's even people who, like, they just start out as UGC creators. Basically, like, they sign up to all these companies that's like, oh, hey, I'll, like, help make these videos for you and stuff like that. And they'll just give you money and give you the product and, like, just roll with it.
Yeah. One thing that scares me, I've seen one guy in particular who, when he does UGC, he literally turns himself into celebrities. And I'm like, at what point does that devalue the celebrity? Like,
I feel like that devalues the product.
You think?
If you go... personally, again, it's like all to your audience and like what you're trying to sell. Because again, in his instance, he's trying to sell that he can like deep fake things really well. Like that's the main point of it.
Sure. Yeah.
But any company who touches that and is just promoting, it's like, oh, they don't normally touch AI, but now they're using AI to promote their stuff to other people. It can give a cheap quality to it. Where it's like, okay, you couldn't pay that celebrity to come and just do the ad, basically. You couldn't have, again, the celebrity's a big thing, but it's like you couldn't have just like paid someone to make that for you.
Mm-hmm. So you think doing something like that kind of like doesn't really show value to a product? Or
yeah, if anything, it devalues it.
Okay.
Because it shows that you're willing to cut corners in ways just to save money.
Facts.
That's kind of what the big thing with AI is. Is that a lot of people are just like, ugh. Like, they're very quick with it. Yeah.
I mean, people are very fast. Cut corners is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, AI is stupid fast.
Mm.
How do you feel about, like, the concept of not just working on social media, but actually trying to provide value with it? If that makes sense. Like, I feel like some people, they hear it and it's like, oh, that's 40-some hours a week of doing stuff. And, like, I don't want to do it for 40 hours a week. But, like, if you show value, it doesn't feel like 40 hours a week worth of work.
You mean, like, people just, like, going into social media, basically?
Like, how... So, think of somebody who does social media full-time. Does it feel like a job to them? Or do they feel like they're providing value and it's not really like a job? It's just something that's a hobby that they're used to.
I think it just depends what you're selling. Generally, I think anyone who has a good work-life balance, it won't feel like a job to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have their, again, work process optimized in a way that works for them and can get a lot of content through it, like they know exactly, like, okay, I need to say this way.
Sure.
I can reuse this video in this way. So on. Unfortunately, I can think of some creators, but I don't know their names off the top of my head.
Okay.
Who do a lot of that stuff where it's just, again, it's basically a rinse repeat of a lot of videos.
Yeah.
That facts. Do well.
I've started the whole social media thing and working towards getting clients. There's ways to make the process a lot more comfortable. Like there's some automation softwares like ManyChat where you can create an entire workflow. And essentially it's when your potential client comments something, or, you know, let's say viewer, when the viewer comments something and then it auto replies to the comment with something that you pre-generated, something you would actually say. And then they get a DM. Let's say it's about like a product or something, and then they kind of go through the process to either buy, schedule, or honestly any other action you'd want them to perform. I find stuff like that very helpful, and it kind of helps me with my sales process. How do I want to word this? It's like, it's such, I don't want to say an abstract concept to me. You can literally just land people from them looking at your content, and it's almost hands-free until the point of having to actually do a sales call.
Yeah.
Which is insane. And if it's just like a product that's online, you don't even have to interact.
Yeah, that's what, again, I always pull back to Ava because that's the one I definitely know off the top of my head. That's what she does a lot of times. They offer a social media service, but a lot of people don't get into it until it's like, oh, she makes a video about something. It's like, oh, if you want this prompt list or you want this script that you can base off for your video, comment below, and then you're sent the script. And then once you go to the website to actually get that script, she's like, hey, here's what we do, and then you can either skip it or you can watch it, and then you actually get the script. But like when you're on the website, they don't push for it. They're just like, hey, like we're also like, we handle all that, this, and so on.
Yeah.
So like you said, without the sales call and stuff, where they're just calling people and be like, hey, we can do this for you, we can do that for you.
No,
you're struggling in this way, do that. It's just like, they're already looking for it, so then they see the video and see that they can help, and then go from there.
It's insane. I definitely think it beats what I was doing way back in college, which was literally just door-to-door. I'd be going on Google, finding businesses that I thought were interesting, creating a couple quick sketches, and then just going to the business and asking them to speak to the owner. 90% of the time, the owner was either busy or not there. It's like, is there somebody that makes decisions I can speak to? Can I get contact information?
Thing is, I think that's still a good way, though, because that's word of mouth, and word of mouth is just that much expanded upon in social media, basically.
Yeah.
You'll tell someone, it's like, oh, this really helped me out, or you'll share a video and be like, oh, this was really useful. I think this person will like this.
And 100%.
So
looking at people's content online is so crucial to me, honestly. Mm. I think it really helps with development and growth. But yeah, no, I wish I did more social media back in college. I think I would have had more clients than I do now.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's really big for me.
A lot of people just like build their business while they're in college as like a day by day thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this isn't social media per se, but I know there's a YouTuber. I don't remember her name. She makes really good paintings, and she's been making them while she was in high school. Now she's in college in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped her like garner a following for her paintings and stuff like that. She's just been doing it for years.
Okay.
And she documents her day by day in art school and everything. So.
Wow, so like lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. I had a thought in my head and it left my head.
No.
I'll grab it. Let me find it.
Relating to paintings and stuff? Or no. Back to paintings?
It was relating to social media, guys. What the hell? Where'd it go? Oh, what do you think the social media process looks like for most people? Like, how do they determine what works for them on socials to grow that audience? Do you think they should just do A-B testing and slap shit at a wall and hope that something sticks and it's good? Or?
I think that's if you're trying to find out what content works for you, like what your main pillars can be, where it's like, oh, you have this style, mm-hmm. you have this style, you have this style, but that shouldn't be just like all you're doing. Because sure. it's like, oh, this format worked for me. And it's not that you rinse repeat that format, but you just see it's like, oh, this was a step-by-step. Yeah. Oh, this was a comparison video. Oh, this was a tier list video. Oh, we can do more variations of this, basically.
Sure.
And cover it in different niches and topics.
I feel like so many people, when they're on social media, they wait for that aha moment. I always use this example. Do you know this sourdough bagel lady? She does that creepy smile. She holds her bowl with her overproof dough, and she goes, and it's gut healthy.
No,
the only
like baker that I see is like the dad who has his two daughters do the voiceover for his videos, and those are really popular.
Nah, because
he has a really popular video where it's, please don't show it to me.
Why?
Mine is much better. I think more people will know who I'm talking about than who you're talking about.
I'm listening. I'm following along. Yeah. I just can't believe you've never seen her. 3.2 million followers.
If it's on TikTok, I'm not seeing it.
You don't get on TikTok?
I do get on TikTok for like, again, Ignite stuff. But like otherwise, I'm not on it. I like just redownloaded the app just for the position. I haven't had it since 2024.
Really?
Yes.
That's wild. I feel like, okay. Maybe.
It was killing my attention in college. So
that's fair.
The minute I started, I was like, this is taking too much time, and I deleted it.
Honestly, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I barely get on TikTok anymore. Every time I get on, I have a bunch of notifications to check stuff. So I'm just...
No, fair. It's just like, oh, this is annoying. It gets you off of it. Thinking it's a little bit better.
Well, tell me more about this guy that you watch.
Oh, again, I don't know a whole lot about him, but I just know that his style of content is basically, again, it'll be the usual. He's making stuff and everything, but he'll have his two daughters voice over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think one of his biggest videos is him making, like, bluey croissants. So then they just talk about, like, oh, he's making bluey croissants. He's stretching them out. Oh, he's really good at doing that. And, like, oh, he makes them just for us. And, like, again, they do, like, little ad libs because, again, it's, like, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old just voiceovering what he's doing. So it's just, like, oh, the cute factor. This is their dad, and he's putting all this work into all this stuff. So that has to do with, like, establishing, like, a personal connection, basically, or, like, some kind of, like, empathy.
Yeah.
Goes a long way in marketing.
100%. I think everybody needs to find a way to connect to people personally. See, like with my content, I feel overly scripted. So I'm trying actively to not be so scripted, and like I curse a lot. I try not to, but I do. And I almost feel like if I nix that out of my content, I feel like I'm not me.
Surprisingly enough, I think you put on a filter regardless.
Really?
It in like the car video clips that you sent me, you didn't swear in any of them. None of you said freaking. That's all you said though.
That's honestly surprising to me.
Yeah.
That's
if anything, really when you do swear, or at least like when we're trying to make something more gruff, I guess with
gruff, okay,
gruff or rough, or like the hard truth kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whenever you do swear, it sometimes feels forced, but that could also be that's because you're trying to slide it into a script.
Is that how we normally drop F bombs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to curse more.
But no, the car videos you sent me were good.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. I didn't even realize it was like 5 different videos that you gave me.
5? I think there's like 12.
Well, yeah, there's, sorry, 12 videos, 5 when it's cut, usable. 5 with the takes.
Okay.
5
okay.
with the takes and stuff.
That makes sense.
You went into different takes and some topics you'd never even finished. Did you think you did 12 separate videos?
No. I did not think I did 12 separate videos. Oh, God,
in
no.
That whole span. Okay, I was going to say, because I was like, from what I got, I have 5 different videos.
No, I was... I
can post.
See, this is a great content point here. I was very much just in the headspace about what we were talking about previously, and I felt like I didn't expand on it enough, and I was like, well, low effort content. Sometimes it performs really well, and it's very relatable to people. So I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to get on my phone and record myself begrudgingly and see what happens.
Well, again, so. You had the enthusiasm and stuff. Like, you didn't have your, like, again, normally, especially when we, like, oh my gosh, I'm trying not to, like, burp in the mic. This is crazy.
I got mine out. Thank you, actually.
Well, you freaking gave them over to me, bro. That's what happened.
You're welcome.
Oh, nah. They'll be aggressive. Ew. Don't say things. You're welcome.
That's funny.
I don't like that.
So what are you saying? I was enthusiastic in
the
car.
Yeah, you seemed enthusiastic in the car and like didn't have like, again, when we first film a video, you're typically like a little monotone, like you're reading something off kind of the same a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't have
again jack. I sent you a video about it actually on the Ignite page about like tone and rhythm.
Oh yeah, and
for,
cadence
yeah
and all that.
For cadence and stuff like that, which I think for him he's like really enunciating it sometimes, but again that's probably what works for him is his videos. So, like, mm-hmm. The tone you had in the car video was good. It's just, like, your enunciation, because you can tell when you're rushing something, and then your words start to slur.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, in real life.
Because there's a lot of times I'll have to play something back, and I'm like, what did he say there? It's like, if I have to play back, that means if someone's watching the video, they're not going to know what you're saying.
No, 100%.
Unless I put captions.
That's something literally everybody tells me. Even in real life, whenever I go and talk to people, I just talk really fast, and I need this, like right now, I need to slow down. I get my ideas out too fast, and then I have no more time.
Have you ever tried the pen exercise? Where you put a pen in your mouth and you speak, so that way it forces you to enunciate? Because you have to enunciate around the pen?
I kind of want to try that.
Yeah, you can try it. Again, it's from one of the many videos I've seen where it tells you how to, again, enunciate better and for scripts and stuff like that. So, I don't know, next time before we film, I can put a pen in your mouth.
I wonder if I can still talk lightning fast.
Maybe, but you might end up spitting out the pen.
Oh, probably, for sure. You know?
Ew.
Aw, my whistle didn't go through. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Yeah. As long as everything's still running the same.
I feel like we kind of got really off track. Where were we?
We were talking about content. We're just, like, talking about our experience, like, a little bit, basically.
Yeah.
I didn't think we got, like... Again, we kind of stayed wayward a little bit from... basically how to turn content and like into clients, but I feel like we did because we brought up again several different examples and
yeah
stuff.
And getting connected with them. No, 100%. I also think another great way to turn viewers into clients is engaging with them.
Yeah,
anyone that comments,
reply,
and if it's something absolutely ridiculous, you know, maybe delete.
Or just ignore it. It just depends how active your comment section is and if it's something that's like, oh, this isn't going to help my content, just leaving this thing here.
No, I got to focus on growing my content section. I need people to comment.
Do you have any sort of filtering on the comments for our thing?
Not that I think. I can double check.
Yeah, because I think you can filter out certain words and stuff or make it that people can't comment certain things. Yeah.
No, I don't have that set.
Yeah.
Should I?
Maybe for... I don't know, like for some instances, mainly just if people say something really egregious, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I feel, I don't know, typically any time you put limiters on comments, sometimes it's not the best thing.
Maybe if somebody ends up messaging in my comment section saying, this guy's a fucking asshole, I'll be like, okay, that sentence specifically, block.
I was thinking slurs, but yeah.
Oh, no, 100% slurs. Yes, of course. I should do that today. That's a great point. I didn't even
think
of that.
You got to keep yourself safe online. Don't let people get to you. Yeah.
You know, some people say all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. Because some people, again, in the, again, keep referencing back to the car video, which people will see. You go, you're like, I'm driving my car. Yeah. Get over it.
Deal with it. I get it. PA passed the law that says you can't be on your phone while driving. Because
hypothetically, he was on his phone while driving.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It wasn't this year, guys.
It was on a little standee.
Or last year.
But.
I'm sorry. Does that video look like a phone was on a standee? Allegedly.
It's wobbling a little bit. It wasn't.
I bought it off the TikTok shop.
It is a wobbly standee. For sure. But.
I'm telling you what, guys, though, if that car content does well, be ready to see more car content.
The definitely three layer of comparison's been doing well.
Yeah, that threw me off.
It makes sense to me. I said
the same three words for the entire video.
Yeah, I said the same thing, and I also didn't put a lot of, like, I think I only put one line in it. Just like a revision of what the other guy made that we referenced the video off of. And that, I feel like it helped because of like the SEO, the phrasing, and then just the format. I think that's what like kind of helped.
Possible.
Yeah, peaked it.
I don't know, I just saw it.
People
like
comparison because like you said about people reformatting stuff for content, a lot of people will get show two, like two screens of two different videos. You definitely know these where it's like, this has this many views. This has this many views. This is because they had a bad hook. Or not
you
even
sound
a bad
like you
hook.
You watch Ava.
Not like, not even Ava anymore. It's like a lot of people make stuff like that where it's like, or even just like where it's talking head where it's a green screen behind them or something where they're like, they play a short clip of the video and they're like, oh, this did well because of this, this, this.
Yeah.
Oh, this did well because of this, this, this. Interesting visual hook. Interesting visual hook, like, something to do with the video, text, relatability, etc. So that's how you can like take content and still like make something out other people's content and make something out of it that's still your own.
Sure.
Plus, if anything, it helps boost other creators that way.
Yeah. I saw one video and it kind of boggled my mind. Bear with me. It's going to be a little bit of a stretch. So the guy was talking about, he was like, so today a bunch of people started kicking my puppy. And people were like, what? A bunch of people were kicking a puppy? And then he was starting to describe the puppy and like explain why people were kicking the puppy and so on and so forth. And at the end of the video, he goes, by the way, the puppy's my finance business for life insurance. And everybody that's kicking it are you people watching this video, not liking it, but sticking around for a story about my puppy getting kicked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he said that.
A lot of people will have that in videos where it's like you had us in the first half, basically. Where, again, it's the hook of, oh, wait, they're saying something controversial or they're doing something that I don't like or that a lot of people don't like. And it's like, deletes paragraph kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that does really well.
And then his post blew up. And I'm like, okay, how are the rest of your posts doing? He's like, well, they're definitely getting 10 times what they were, but nowhere near what the kicking puppy video got.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot that there's, even with like big pages that still get a lot of views, the like to view ratio is still not great. Especially even on like TikTok and Instagram, like a video has to do really well. Like I want to say over 100K if it's going to get 10K likes, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, like 10%
because people
likes.
Will see it and it, then it doesn't take long for them to count it as a view. But again, if they don't like it in that 3 seconds before they scroll, then they're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Even if it's an interesting video.
Yeah. But in the meantime, edits of like football players and stuff just take off, man. I'm a victim, let me tell you. It's crazy. What is your, like, I started setting up automations for the pages. How do you feel about them? Do you think that they're useful? Do you think that they help?
Do you mean like mini chat where they can comment something and stuff? Yeah, that's fine. That stuff's useful because, again, it's most any, especially with what you're going into. That's what most of them are using. Because, again, it still allows them that even if you don't, like, again, if they comment it, it's like, oh, I sent it to your DM, so that's a comment engagement. And then they're, you send it to them and they're it's automated in the DMs, but then you individually go and reply to them about it, basically.
I mean, you can automate your DMs if you wanted.
Well, that's what we have is the automated DMs. You mean the automated commenting? replying?
So they comment, it goes.
Because you can do comment, you can do auto replies
and does a DM.
Yeah.
They go in the DM, read the DM, interact with the DM.
And some people have multiple variations where they say something. Like if they say something like, oh, I'm a content creator with this kind of niche, it's like, oh, that, or like I'm doing this, this, this. It's like, oh, cool, what's your niche? Or like so on.
I can't stop yawning. I'm so sorry.
Hopefully it's the end of the day.
Nah, we still got like 45 minutes to go. We got time.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know how long we've been doing the episode for. Have you been doing a timer? 33 minutes.
Is that the longest one yet?
No. Oh. I think me and Zane went on for a bit.
Oh. Damn, guys.
Oh, 34. Oh,
we're about to break that record. How long were the webbed smarties? I was going to say dummies, but they're smart people.
I thought you were just going to say web devies.
Oh, under. The debbies?
Devies.
Oh, the devies.
Web devies.
Maybe I'll start calling them that.
Or even the web debbies.
The web debbies. Well, yeah, when they're hangry and aggravated. Do you think... Actually, I want to get your point of view on this because I think this will be great content.
Okay.
How do you feel about the concept that Claude Cowork could go into Canva, take control of Canva, and start creating content?
I think I've already told you this in private before, basically. Like, it's definitely...
Yeah, but the people are going to love this.
Oh, yeah. People already utilize it in a lot of ways, and you can just, like, go in and give it some, like, aesthetic words, and it will, like, build something out for you, and then you just have to fill it out.
Uh-huh.
It's just basically whatever you need of it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I want to try it. I don't think I'm going to like it. I have not liked anything that AI has designed yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep my mouth shut about one thing.
Which thing?
No, nothing. Nothing. Say it. It's not for the podcast.
Aww.
Not for the podcast.
So sad, guys.
But I think, like, again, if people want to utilize it for that way, they can. You can't stop people. Mm-hmm. No matter how, whatever you recommend to them, basically, people are going to do what they want to do.
Facts.
But, again, they can utilize that if that helps make stuff quicker and everything. But, again, mm-hmm. you can only get so much brand out of Canva because it is community-made assets and everything.
Yep.
So, depending on if they want to, again, really make something from scratch that truly is their brand instead of built from other stuff, then they need to consult a designer.
Yeah.
But especially with social media and how, like, proactive you do have to be on it,
mm-hmm.
then they can utilize in that way if that helps them do stuff faster. Well,
so here's the crazy thing that I've also noticed is when you're a graphic designer, you think more about custom designs.
Fine. We're getting into design territory a little bit.
Oh, don't worry. I'm backing right back out.
Okay.
But what do you think? Social media manager? You don't think designer. And a lot of these social media managers will just use Canva and still get stuff to blow up.
Yeah, that's nothing that hinders it from blowing up for sure, though.
No, to me, it's such an interesting concept. Like Open Tabs podcast, we talk about all things design. So you think about a graphic designer and you're like, wow, okay. You put a graphic designer in charge of social media, it takes them longer to create content because they're more focused on the design. But if you put a social media manager on it, they're just going to use Canva, put a little, you know, girly pop sparkle on it, and it's going to blow up.
Again, it's just, like, people like really simplified stuff right now, like it used to be. Like, again, it's just, like, whatever fits into your audience, basically, and what you're making. Because if you're making more artsy content, some people mm-hmm. really like the really handcrafted, high-quality videos that have, like, a lot of editing and, like, handmade graphics and stuff for like titling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They really like that stuff. But again, if you're doing like an AI firm or whatever, something that it can be highly automated or is very technical, they want something out as quickly as they can, basically. So they're going to automate it however they need to.
Yeah.
And again, if your audience is more casual, then you do something casual where you grab some B-roll, you grab something funny or trendy or whatever, mm-hmm. you put it up, put it with a trending audio, and then it's like people are like, oh, I relate to this, and then they like it.
I'm so interested to see how this car video is going to do because that feels like that time investment. It feels like that low effort.
Again, it could be hit or miss.
So I think it's
going to hit or miss.
Maybe fall into that window. Bucket concept, possibly. Low effort.
Are you talking about like talking about kicking a baby and then being like the baby being your business thing?
That is a puppy, not a baby. Both are awful.
Okay,
but no.
Like, you could say you kicked a baby.
Do you want me in the next video to say I kicked a baby?
That's up to you.
And see how people react?
That's up to you.
Guys, my baby got kicked.
People might think it's funny, though. That boarding, people might respond a bit more, or at least if they're younger, respond a bit more to a puppy being kicked than a baby being kicked, because people, I don't know, people like saying drop kick.
Okay, so here's the thing. The world we live in right now, people don't care about babies. They want puppies. They want puppies, for sure. No, maybe I'll just make a video where it's like, my puppy got kicked, and then it'll just pan over to my computer and have the entire dashboard up and like all the stats, but yeah, y'all thought it was my puppy, you bastards, you know?
Well, again, you don't have to call them out in that way where it's just like, basically you're not consoling, but like reassuring them. It's like, well, the puppy being my business and stuff like that, basically, I'm not, you know, and then like you said, go into your CTA like that guy did in his video.
Yeah, I'm tempted. I kind of want to play with some stuff and see how aggressive I get on socials and see how messy I can make it. Do I want to be a messy influencer? Do you think messy influencers do better?
I don't know. It's back and forth because, again, like, especially a lot of the people you do reference are, like, women creators and, like, very in-your-face coaches and stuff, which, mm-hmm. like, with how it is, typically people are more willing to, like, if a girl is being, like, very assertive and stuff, because it's like, okay, girl boss, but if it's a man, it's kind of like,
oh, here's another white man, just
yeah, another white man on a podcast.
Literally, I
or like just another
said no.
Or like, again it can come off different in connotation, because again, if especially like some of the stuff that like Shelby says or whatever, like that one lady you sent me, I forget, Sheila,
yeah,
Sheila, her stuff, if there was a man saying it, it would not be doing as well.
Oh no,
it would not.
No,
and that's just, again, it's all a part of like who your audience is and like what your aesthetic is and like what your content you're making is.
So as a white man on a podcast, should I cave and just start paying a girl to do my socials instead of me?
You're already doing that.
No, on camera though.
Oh, on camera.
Yeah.
Not me.
Like, hey, can you go give this like girl boss energy, please?
I'll pay a girl to do it. Maybe, because again, with how some of your first content was, you were definitely trying to like do that. And it keeps going back and forth because you want to like reassure business owners that it's like, hey, you've got this, but you also want to be like in their face, like you're not doing this right.
Yeah.
You need to be using my software. So it's like balancing that or just trying to decide if you want to really lean into one or really lean into the other.
Yeah.
If you want to be an asshole, you got to be an asshole.
I could be an asshole.
Yeah.
I could be a real asshole. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, I burped. Okay, I think this is a good spot to cut it. What do you
wrap
think?
Wrap it up. Okay.
That's enough for me. Well, I guess let's cut it then.
That's all we have today for the, again.
I was like, words. All right, folks, that's everything we have for this episode of the Open Tabs podcast. We're going to go ahead and close it down. If you have any opinions that you'd like to shoot my way, drop them in the comments.
Or shoot our way, yeah.
Our way, sorry. Me being the asshole that I am. You go ahead and check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. Where else are we putting this?
Wherever you get your podcast, basically.
Yeah, what she said. That's girl boss energy.
And with that out of the way, we'll just go ahead and close the tab then.
Hell yeah. Adios.